Well, God is gracious and good. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know I did, and I think I ate too much, and that's always what we do. But that's okay. I think God wants us to enjoy the good things he put on the earth. That's why he made turkeys and gravy and mashed potatoes and all those great things. Well, in 1962, a 14-year-old boy named Robert White wrote a letter to the President of the United States. And at that time, it was President Kennedy. And he wrote them this letter, and the letter, of course, came to the President's secretary, Mrs. Evelyn Lincoln. That was President Kennedy's secretary, Evelyn Lincoln. And the boy asked her, would the President please send him a copy of his signature? He wanted to have a copy of the President's signature. And that letter, that request, that simple request from this 14-year-old boy, started a relationship that lasted for 33 years. Mrs. Lincoln, President's secretary, was so impressed by Robert's passion for presidential history that she took the very unusual step of saving items from President Kennedy's office for him. And the records show that she sent him thousands of presidential documents and mementos. She saved whatever she could, and she even sent him doodles that the president did while during his cabinet meetings. Today, Robert White has the largest private collection of Kennedy memorabilia in the world. He owns over 50,000 different items. And the conservative estimate is that his collection is worth millions of dollars. How did he ever amass this great fortune in historical documents? Well, all he ever did was just ask for it. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Just imagine all the things that we might be missing in life simply because we don't ask for them. Simply because we don't make the request. It's important to ask for things. And last week we talked about giving things. Giving is fundamental to Christianity. And another aspect of Christianity is asking for things. Would you please turn again with me to the Gospel of Matthew as we return to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, and we take just a little portion of it that deals with this thing of asking God for things. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, last week, like I said, we talked about giving. And this week, we focus on this thing of asking. Jesus commands his disciples to ask God for things. He urges them to be insistent and persistent in pursuing God for things that are needed. Keep asking God, Jesus is saying, because God's better than you are. He's good. He's merciful. He's loving. Be persistent in asking. This is a very memorable passage. Notice that it's a structure, it's two sets of three parallels. There's a definite structure here. Ask, will receive. Seek, will find. Knock, will be open. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. Knocks, and is open to him. Three sets of three parallels. Why? So it's memorable, so that he drives home the point. Three commands. Ask. Make the request. I won't ask you what you're asking the Lord for this Christmas, but apart from having a Christmas gift list, I hope that you have a request list from God. a Christmas gift list from God. Ask now. Ask now, and it will be given to you. This is not a new theme. It's throughout the Gospels. John chapter 14, verse 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. That I'll do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And John, later on in John, Jesus says again, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you." What do you want this Christmas? What do you want from God? What are you hoping that God will do for you this Christmas? Have you even thought about asking God for something this Christmas? Have we all been caught up in, "Well, I've got to get Aunt Fred, I've got to get him his pipe, and I've got to get Aunt Sally her shoes," and, you know. Jesus said, ask. Ask. Now, some people take a verse like this and they twist it around and they get very confused about it. You say, "Lord, please give me a new car." Or, "Is God like Alexa? Is Jesus saying this is works like Alexa, or it looks like Echo Dot, or what's the other one, a Siri, you know?" Have you seen that YouTube video of Petra the Parrot, you know? Petra the Parrot says, "Alexa, lights on." And the lights go on in the house. Is that what Jesus is saying? And the bird nods, and he's happy that the lights are on. Or that little girl in Texas, Dallas, Texas, who was talking to Echo Dot. You know, that's Amazon's version of this. It's computers that sit in your house and you just speak to them and they order things for you. She was talking to the computer and she was talking about dollhouses and cookies. And 2 days later, a $170 dollhouse arrived on her doorstep and 4 pounds of cookies. Is that the way this works? You know, I just ask God. You know, I say, "God, new car, please." Is that what Jesus is saying? Well, no, of course not. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is to his disciples who have a relationship with him. And as Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask whatever you wish." Because our asking will be in line with what God wants for us anyway. James reminds us, you don't have, James 4:2, because you don't ask. I suggest to you that we probably should ask God for a lot more than we do. I know in my own life I've learned a lot about prayer through my mistakes and my failures. Back in the 1980s when I was in Bible school, a missionary came to our Bible school named Charles Mendes. He was from Nepal. He was living in Canada at the time. And he wanted to send people to Nepal to evangelize the Nepalese. And at that time, Nepal was a closed country. They didn't allow foreign missionaries in. It was illegal to do that. So he had an idea that he would go to Bible schools and ask the students to come as tourists, quote-unquote tourists, who just happened to have Bible tracts with them, and he would send them out to trek and hike the mountains. Well, boy, when he came up and gave that challenge at the Bible school, I was pretty excited about it. I'd never been anywhere. When my dad would take his vacation, he would stay home and paint the house. Fiedlers never went anywhere. You know, we just never had a vacation. And the idea about going halfway around the world and seeing the place where Mount Everest is in the Himalayas was just mind-blowing. It would be like me going to the moon. And I felt God say something to me in my heart. "I want you to go." There's only one problem. You needed $1,500. That was the airline ticket over and the cost of the missions. We were there for 6 weeks. You had to have the money in by the middle of July. We went in September. I didn't have the money. But I felt like God wanted me to go. I waited to almost the deadline. I didn't just ask God. I didn't ask people. I was too embarrassed to ask. I had a lady when I went off to Bible school named Anita. She was a wealthy lady, and she said, "Kevin, if you ever need any money, just tell me." But like a lot of people, I was too embarrassed to ask people for money. I didn't ask, so I didn't have. And the deadline was coming closer and closer and closer. I didn't even tell my church at home. God wants us to ask. That's our part. And one morning, God gave me a dream. I was living at the college at that time. And my routine was to work the midnight shift, sleep, and then get up in the morning, get up early, later in the morning, and go and eat lunch. And just before I got up, I had a dream. And in my dream, I was in the bathroom of the main administration building at the college, and I was combing my hair in the mirror. That was my routine. I would always go over to get my mail at the administration building. And I was standing in there combing my hair, and into the bathroom, who comes but the president of the Bible school? And what does he do in the dream? He says, "Kevin, are you going to go to Nepal?" I said, "Boy." And I woke up, and it was one of those dreams that was so real. Wow, that was a weird dream. And what did I do? Well, I got up and said, I'm going to go eat lunch. So I went to the administration building. And what did I do? I went into the bathroom to comb my hair before I went to lunch. Well, you know where this is going, don't you? And who did I meet in the bathroom? The president of the Bible school. He turned to me and said, "Well, Kevin, are you going to go to Nepal?" And it was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like a Twilight Zone. I was so shook up, so scared. I had a dream about this. Everybody called him Brother Joe. "I just had a dream about this." He said, "Well, are you going to go to Nepal?" I said, "I don't know. I have 2 weeks, and I got to get $1,500. And he said, "Well," he basically said, "Well, that's not that hard to do in 2 weeks, you know." He said to me, he smiled, and he said, "I need 80 grand by Friday." They were buying a building in New York City for $250,000, and he had to put a down payment down. And he was trusting God within 2 days that God would give him 80 grand to buy that building. He said, "I need 80 grand by Friday," and sort of smiled. "God, what do I do?" I asked God, "What do I do?" God said, "Write a letter to Anita." He said, "Go tell the church in New Jersey." Within 2 weeks, I had $3,200. Now I had a new problem. I had more money than I needed. You ever had that problem? Ask and it will be given to you. All I did was write a letter to Anita and say, "I think maybe, or I'm not sure, but I think God wants me to go on this mission trip, but I need..." She sent me a check for $1,600. And the church took up a collection and they collected $1,700. All I did was ask. Why don't we ask? Because it's humbling to ask. And we're taught, you're supposed to work your own way. You're supposed to work your own way. You're supposed to work your own way. And yes, work's important. And we're not supposed to be slackers. But we have a Father who wants to give us things. Now, that doesn't mean we're all going to be driving Mercedes next week. But it does mean there's more that God wants to give you that you haven't asked for yet. And Christmas is a great time to ask Dad for things. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Have you seen the pictures of the people grabbing the big screen TVs, punching each other in the face to get that big screen? That's what they're seeking. Will they be happy with what they're seeking? Jesus has already said to seek something in this very sermon. He said, "Seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you." See, the people of God always kind of get off track. We get lost in the things of the world many times. That's what happened to Israel. That's why in Jeremiah chapter 29, the people of God pursued things instead of Him. And that's why they were dissatisfied with life. And so God had to take them all the way to Babylon. But in Babylon, as a good father, He didn't forget His kids. And He sent them a Christmas letter. He sent it through the prophet Jeremiah. And in that letter it said this, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. I want to do something good for you. Even though you've been a rotten kid, I still want to do something good for you, Israel. Not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you." and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. That's what the Father wants. Jesus says, if you're weary and heavy laden in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. You'll find rest for your souls. He's the Prince of Peace. All human beings, James Thurber writes, all human beings should try to learn before they die what they're running away from and what they're running to, what they're pursuing, and why. What do we want to ask the Father for? What are we seeking from the Father? And why do we knock? We knock almost every day, don't we? Did you ever think about that little action? Knock, and it will be open to you. Now, usually when you go to knock on something, you have to go to where the door is, right? Are we knocking? Eric Clapton wrote a great song, Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door. Or was it, maybe it was Bob Dylan did that. Why do we knock on heaven's door? Because we're told to knock on heaven's door. We need to declare what it is that we want. What is it we want? What is it that we want? What doors do we want opened in our lives? Are there any doors that are shut in our lives? Any hearts that are shut towards us? Have you got a relative or a friend who doesn't want to know anything about Jesus, thinks you're crazy, and you've knocked on that door many times, but it's never open? Knock and it will be opened, Jesus says. A fellow, Rich Richardson, is a Christian missionary, and he writes books. And he writes his books at the coffee shop, usually. And there's a Muslim gentleman there named Sam who works there. And Rich has been trying to reach this guy with the gospel for a long time. It's part of his regular routine. And one day he walked in there and Sam waved him over and said, I lost my wallet. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so Rich said, well, I'll pray for you. He said, I guess that can't hurt. 10 minutes later, Sam came over to me and told me, guess what? I found my wallet. He said, hey, you can pray for me anytime. The next week, Sam was in the coffee shop again. Rich was in the coffee shop again. Sam came over and said, my ulcer is bothering me. Sam said, is there anything I can do for you, Sam? And he said, well, you can go to the local CVS and you can pick up my medicine. So I went to the local CVS and I picked up his medicine, his ulcer medicine. I said, but I'd like to pray for you first. He said, okay. 10 minutes later, Sam came back and said, hey, I really feel a lot better. And I didn't even take the medicine. Gee, I wished I'd had you pray for me first before I bought the medicine. Rich says, now, these days, Sam doesn't even bother for me to ask if I can pray for him. He comes over and tells me his problems and asks me to pray about them. Are we knocking on the door of heaven for somebody this Christmas? Jesus said the door will be open. For everyone, I love that word, everyone. Nobody's left out. Everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. You know, that's a promise right from the very mouth of Jesus Christ. It will be that way if we ask. Receives now in the present. He receives and keeps on receiving. Everyone whose life is characterized by asking, their life will also be characterized by receiving. Everyone who's characterized by seeking, they will be finding. What are we seeking? What are we finding? There's lots of things we can seek in life. Everyone who knocks, who keeps knocking, takes persistence to knock. What doors do we need opened in our lives this Christmas? What's locked to us? Who are we praying for? Who are we asking for? We have a gift list. Do we have a Christmas prayer list? You see, a lot of people are discovering this thing of asking God for things is at the heart of a satisfied life. I suggest to you, this is the moment-by-moment reality of experiencing God. We experience God. That's why the Our Father, that central prayer of the Christian life, is right smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, I mentioned that a few weeks ago. Why? Well, because prayer is the place where God meets us, uniquely, individually. I don't know what you're praying about, unless you tell me. I don't know what secret prayers you're sending up to heaven, but you and God know. And when he answers them, that's his little way of letting you know, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're asking me for. I'm aware that you're on the earth. I haven't lost you in all the multitude. I haven't forgotten your paperwork. I always remember Anita. She was a divorced mom. She had a big yard. She didn't have any place to dump her leaves. Every year she'd rake her leaves, put them in bags, and set them beside the road. She told me, Kevin, I said, why do you do that? She said, well, I just pray that somebody will take them away. And every year, somebody would take them away. It wasn't the town. In that town, they didn't do that. How do you think that made her feel? I asked God, and he sent somebody to take away the leaves. It reminded her every year, I care about you. I care about you. I care about you. I can pause and I can hear what you're asking me. That's what God is doing in our lives through prayer. That's why we should be persistent in prayer. Are we asking? Are we seeking? Are we knocking? It's important to give, but it's important to ask too. God is more generous than we are. Remember, this is a sermon for disciples. He uses two illustrations here in verses 9 and 10. He says, look at your own life experience. Is there any man among you who, if his son, the son of his own flesh, says, Dad, can I have a piece of bread, a loaf? Nah, here's a stone. He said, look what happens in your own house. Is there anyone that does that? And the answer is, of course not. Because where there's a relationship, there is love. Where there's a relationship, there's loving care. He will not hand him a stone, will he? Dad, can I have a McDonald's fish sandwich? He won't give him a... Here's a nice snake. No. In the natural, that doesn't happen. The relationship ensures that there will be a positive answer to the request. He said, if you know how being evil... And the truth is, we are evil. He says, you are bad people, worthless, vicious, degenerate. That's what that word means. Being evil, being wicked. Even drug dealers buy Christmas presents for their kids. Because there's a relationship. If you know how to give good gifts, is God less kind than you? How much more will your Heavenly Father be gracious. God is certainly not less kind, less humane, less caring and less loving than we are, although he's often made out that way, that God doesn't care. Well, my Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John, Paul says in Romans 8, he says how he did not withhold his own Son from us. He did not spare his own Son. How will he not also freely give us all things? And we know, of course, we're not asking God to just give us a beach house and for the next 20 years we just retire on the beach. He gives us the things that are necessary for life. Psalm 84, verse 11, the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Psalm 145, the Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. And his mercies are over all his works. James says it this way, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. What gift do you want from God this Christmas? Have you asked God for a gift this Christmas? I encourage you to do that. Is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. It wasn't us who thought up Christmas decorations. I know about you, but I love Christmas decorations. I left my Christmas decorations up till July last year. I don't know, there's something about them. He's called the Father of lights by James. And there is no variation or shifting shadow. Our Father is better than we are, so we can expect to receive good things from him. And then we have verse 12, which doesn't seem to fit in here at all. In fact, many scholars say it doesn't fit in here. It's the golden rule. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Why is that verse there? Well, how do we respond to God's goodness? Do we respond at all? And how do we respond to others? I mean, what is it that God does for us? How does God treat us? God follows the golden rule, doesn't he? He treats people the way he wishes they would treat him. He treats them with love. He treats them with respect. He is gracious to them. He is patient with them. Why? To model that for us so that we would show him love and respect, so we would listen to him and honor him. Would you like to live in a world where everybody did this? Where they treated others the way they wanted them to be themselves to be treated? This is a very applicable rule to use while you're out Christmas shopping. And there's people grabbing for all this stuff. Just remember, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Pray for the checkout people. Think about their lives at this time of the year. We were at a restaurant on Thanksgiving Day. And there was a lady named Anita, Spanish lady. And she was so gracious to us. She wasn't home with her family. She wasn't home with her kids. She was on her feet, carrying trays of food, but she was so gracious to us. And we thanked her over and over again, and we left her a big tip. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. That's the whole point of the Old Testament. We're on this planet with each other, and we want it to be a better place than it is. One of the best gifts you can give another person is respect. Isn't it a gift that we would like to receive ourselves? One of the best gifts you can give someone else is patience. Isn't that a gift we would like to receive this Christmas? This is a season of impatience. It's a season of the hurried life. It's a season of trying to cram too many things into 1 minute. And the temptation is, get out of my way. I'm going for what I've got to get. That picture is kind of burned in my my vision. In fact, somebody actually threw a shoe at a baby in a store to try to get at one of these big TVs. I mean, when you live like that, you're kind of being reduced to being animals. Treat other people the way you want them to treat you. This is the law and the prophets. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus will say, again, in answer to the lawyer's question, what is the greatest commandment? He'll say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the great and foremost commandment. The second's like it, you love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Very important command to remember at this season of the year when we're pressed by time and trying to do too many things. How good is God in our estimation? Is he kinder than we are? Is the problem that we don't ask? Is the problem that we're not treating those around us the way we really need to treat them? Many of us have family members that don't believe in God. They live life without God. Christy Bothwick had a dad like that. He was turned off to God when her 47-year-old brother died. He became more and more belligerent. He said, eternal life is a myth. There is no heaven or hell. Just put me in the ground. The grave is all there is. But for 29 years, Christy kept asking God for her father's salvation. 29 years. She kept praying and asking. Ask and you will receive. She told and asked other people to pray. At one point she had 500 people praying for him. A few weeks before he died, she said, we invited my dad to pray a simple prayer. Jesus, have mercy. And he responded. He prayed, Jesus, have mercy on my soul. And Christy says, my dad's face changed. There was a peace there that had never been there before, and his striving ceased. It took 29 years of asking. He died 2 weeks later. We should keep asking God for things in this Christmas season. We should keep seeking and knocking. And we can expect that our Father, who loves us, will give us the right gift because he's the best gift giver. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We are always amazed, O Lord, at how you know exactly what we need at every point in our lives. You know us so well, Lord. And this Christmas morning, Lord, when we come down and look under the tree, may the thing that we've been asking you for be there. Father, we know that you have the best gifts. And we ask you, Lord, for them. Every heart in this place, Lord, has something that it longs to see from you. And God, we ask that you would give it. That this Christmas, Lord, you would crown us with your blessing. We want all the blessings that you have for us, Lord. We want everything that you want to give us. That you might be glorified. And that you might enjoy seeing the smile on her face. And we unwrap the gift and unwrap that package. Father God, we just give you glory and praise and honor in this place. Be exalted in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.